Section 6. The Ghosts of Onyx. Chapter 28. 1700 hours. November 3rd, 2552. Military calendar. Zeta Dorada system. Planet Onyx. Near restricted region zone 67. Kurt crouched, motionless in the undergrowth, and waited for the sentinels to move into position. There'd been no happy reunion with Blue Team. No time for explanations, not even a handshake. All there'd been time for was running. The Sentinel Patrol had been on them the instant they'd recovered the Spartans. An hour of non-stop cat and mouse through the jungle. The drones were getting very good at hunting them. A pair of Sentinels paused, hovering 4 meters above the ground. After bombarding the jungle from 100 meters with energy blasts and missing, they'd finally descended to their level. Their lateral spars flexed as if they could smell the trap. The spars about each sphere drifted farther apart, and both spheres moved within centimeters of each other. It reminded Kurt of cell division, only in reverse. They were combining. What the purpose of this mating was, Kurt wasn't sure. He was, however, sure he didn't like it. The now double sentinel crept closer. Team Saber on the left flank detonated fugas positioned under the drones. Flames shot up and lit the canopy, smoldering shrapnel obliterating the foliage. A split second later, Blue Team on the right flank let loose a spanker missile and a hail of MA-5B fire. They were in perfect defilade. The air filled with white-hot tracers and black roiling clouds. Two nearby trees crackled and fell. Kurt flashed his red status light, and the fire ceased. Saber had jumped the gun. A half second, maybe, but they definitely shot before the sentinels were in position. What had he expected? For all the simulated combats the Gamma Company Spartans had been through, nothing could have prepared them for continuous guerrilla action with the Forerunner killing machines. Kurt squinted. Even with image enhancement and thermals, he couldn't make out anything in the air where the sentinels had been. But he could see the ground. And among the splintered tree trunks, burning leaves, and popping metal, there was neither drone. He blinked his amber light twice, ordering the teams to fall back. He didn't like this one bit. A full bank of green status lights winked at him. Kurt saw motion in the mist. Shadows that resolved into 6 rods, arranged in a long hexagonal geometry. 2 spheres within, pulsing as the energy field enveloping the combined sentinels shimmered. They were completely untouched. Kurt flashed his red 3 times, the retreat signal. 1 sphere glowed and moved back and forth, searching. It stopped and fixed upon Kurt. He jumped. A flash of light struck. The jungle floor detonated, and a 3-meter crater fizzled and cracked into glass. Kurt rolled into a crouch and instinctively returned fire with his MA-5K. This was part of the plan, too. The part where everything went wrong, and he'd insisted on drawing the enemy's fire while the others slipped away. He knew the terrain. Twin Forks River was 300 meters to the east. It should be a stroll through the park. The other sphere shone like burnished gold, and his rounds bounced off its energy shield, even as the first sphere reheated, building charge for another shot. Kurt ran, zigzagging into the foliage. In this doubled configuration, the sentinels could simultaneously fire and defend with an energy shield. That was big trouble. It seemed all their engagements with the sentinels were doing was teaching them how to be more effective in combat. Explosions followed Kurt, almost as if his footsteps were setting them off. The trees parted ahead, and the Twin Forks River snaked through the jungle. The water was muddy and churning. Kurt leapt and splashed into the swift current. He sank to the bottom. Internal oxygen cut on inside his spy suit, and Kurt grasped rocks along the river bottom, crawling upstream. Through the murky water, he spotted a rock ledge and tucked underneath. Between him and sentinels were 3 meters of moving ice-cold water, 1 meter of rock, and a layer of photoreactive circuits in his armor. He should be undetectable to any sensor. At least, undetectable enough, he hoped, to fool these things. He waited. No explosions, no flashes, no heat. The combined sentinel wasn't his biggest worry, though. It was the one on overwatch. The sentinels patrolled in threes now, two at mid to ground level, and another 2 to 3,000 meters in the air, watching everything, reporting their tactics, and learning. As long as that third one tracked them, the Spartans would be on the defensive, reacting instead of initiating action. Kurt wondered why the Sentinels hadn't called in reinforcements, combined and let loose with enough firepower to burn the entire jungle. Unless they were deliberately playing cat and mouse with them, to learn more about how they fought. He had to be smarter than them. Take out all three. Take the initiative. Maybe with Blue Team, he could do it. Kurt waited 2 more minutes, then pulled himself out of the river. He sprinted for the cover of the jungle. There were no signs of pursuit. He remained calm silent and crept back to the prearranged fallback position. As he approached the region of broken ground bordering Zone 67, he slowed. There was less cover, so he scanned the skies for Sentinel overwatch. All clear. Ahead, the land turned to savanna grass, acacia trees, and large striated boulders. One rock in particular had a hollow underneath where they'd arranged to meet. It provided cover without restricting the view of the local airspace. If attacked, they had a clean line back to the jungle. There would be at least 2 guards on lookout, and at least 1 Spartan at the jungle line to watch their line of retreat. Normally, he would click his comm twice to alert the sentry, but he didn't even want to take that small risk in the open. So Kurt waited, guessing the sentry would be either Linda or Olivia. If it was Linda, he scanned the nearby trees, she'd be up there, in a good sniping position. If it was Olivia, she could be anywhere. She was eerily proficient at camouflage and stealth. There was the clatter, a single stone 3 meters to his left. He turned and, as predicted, Olivia crouched 1 meter behind him in the shadow of a low tree, perfectly blending into the grass and dappled light in her spy armor, waving at him to make sure he saw the slight blur of motion. Kurt had no doubt that she could have been in fluorescent orange fatigues and still managed to look like part of the terrain. Kurt waved to her and then aimed his single-beam comm at the rendezvous rock. The comm established handshake and then crackled to life. "Want coming in," he said. "Come ahead," Kelly's voice came back. "Good to hear your voice." "Yours too. Out." Kurt remembered the last time he had Kelly on the single beam, when his thruster pack had exploded and he rocketed out of control into deep space. He'd never realized how much he'd missed his old teammates until he'd seen them again. Of course, now Blue Team was in jeopardy, but that seemed like old times as well. He couldn't have asked for better soldiers to be in trouble with. He ran across the field, low and silent, and then jumped into the shaded hollow. Tom, Ash, and Mendez crouched next to Kelly, Linda, and Fred. They whispered to one another and drew plans in the dirt. Lucy sat quietly next to Dr. Halsey, who glanced at Kurt and then went back to her laptop computer, examining 4 runner glyphs. The other Spartan threes were missing, presumably on watch.
"Glad you made it back in one piece," Chief Mendez said, and gave him an abbreviated salute. "Almost had me worried."
"Thanks, Chief. Set up a single-beam relay outside and hail the others on patrol."
"Yes, sir."
Mendez grabbed the tiny antenna dish. Linda, Kelly, and Fred all turned to Mendez when he said, "Sir," and then looked at Kurt. Kurt flicked his index finger up, the wait-a-second gesture, and then he turned to Ash.
"Private."
"Sir,"
Ash said and stood straighter. His helmet was off. Sweat glistened on his head and neck. It was a serious breach of combat protocols. But spy suits had never been designed for extended use, and Team Saber had to have been sweltering in the stuff for days. Kurt glanced at the helmet, and Ash blanched at his mistake and immediately slipped it on. Kurt said, "Saber jumped the gun on that ambush."
"Yes, sir."
Ash snapped into precise regulation attention. "It was my fault. I felt it was the right time, that the Sentinels were about to move out of optimal firing position. That's no excuse, sir. It won't happen again." Had Ash sensed something Kurt hadn't? Still, orders had to be followed.
I'm counting on you to keep your team on task and focused. We clear?
Absolutely clear, sir,
Ash replied. Kurt then moved closer to Blue Team. Fred set a hand on Kurt's shoulder, a rare gesture among Spartans. It spoke volumes in the language of the Spartans' tightly restrained emotions.
We thought you were dead, Fred whispered.
Kurt clapped Fred on his shoulder as well.
There's so much to brief you on. The Sentinels, the Spartan Threes, everything.
Mendez stepped back into the shadows.
Single beam link up established, sir.
Which will have to wait a little longer,
Kurt told them. Kurt opened up his team comm to both Blue and Saber.
We're taking out that Sentinel pair before the next phase of this operation, he said. Ash, take Saber and scout the ravine ahead. Find that tunnel you sacked in a few days ago. Dante will rig it with two satchel charges. We'll lure the Sentinels inside, and then, since we can't penetrate their shields, we'll blow the place and bury them.
Fred, Linda, and Kelly exchanged looks. Normally, Fred gave orders for Blue Team. Fred gave his team an almost imperceptible shake of his head.
What about the Overwatch? Fred asked.
We'll take our best shot at range, Kurt replied. Hit it with two Spanker missiles, which will hopefully weaken its shield enough for Linda to penetrate with a few shots.
What range? Linda asked.
They never get closer than 2 kilometers, Kurt said. It wasn't an impossible shot, but given variable winds, a moving target, and trying to combine fire with missile strikes, it would be highly improbable. Still, Kurt had to try something to get one step ahead of the enemy.
Linda considered a moment, then replied,
I have an 83% accuracy rating at that range.
Okay, Kurt told Ash. Go. Tom, Lucy, back Saber up, then grab a pair of Spanker launchers and rendezvous with Spartan 058.
His senior NCOs and Ash stood, nodded, and eased out of the hollow. Kurt got green status light across his display. He shut down the linked single-beam network. After the Spartan 3s had left, Kelly said,
Those kids are going to get us killed.
They're acting like they have something to prove. We could have taken those Sentinels earlier if they followed the firing order.
Kurt bristled at her words. Team Saber were his soldiers, and every one of their flaws was his fault. His anger cooled as quickly as it had come. She was right. In an even voice, he told her,
They're not kids. They're Spartans.
Kelly crossed her arms.
Menda said, I think, sir, you might want to tell them what we've accomplished here.
Kurt nodded, and then explained much of the Spartan 3 training program and the creation of companies Alpha, Beta, and the newly minted Gamma.
Some of the bio-augmentations are new, Kurt explained.
The Spartan 3's normal aggression response has been, he searched for the right word, enhanced in situations of extreme stress. It gives them incredible reserves of endurance and makes them impervious to shock.
Is that what's making them twitchy?
Kelly groused.
No one's twitchy, he replied, then fell silent.
Kurt knew he was wrong.
Why couldn't he admit it?
Was he defensive because he wanted his Spartans to be everything the older Spartans were? Fred, Kelly, and Linda had decades of field experience. As the Spartan 3 CO, he had to stay objective.
You're right, Kurt said softly. They are twitchy and green. What else could they be?
Fresh out of boot and thrown up against these Sentinels.
He looked to Kelly, to Fred, and then to Linda.
I need your help to make sure they stay in line and, if possible, survive this.
Linda and Fred slowly nodded.
Sure thing, Kelly said, uncrossing her arms.
Dr. Halsey looked up from her computer.
I'd like to discuss this aggression enhancement, she said.
In fact, I have many questions about the Spartan 3 program, like, where is the rest of Gamma Company, and Beta, or Alpha?
Your questions will have to wait, Doctor, Kurt replied.
We're running out of time. Lord Hood's reinforcements may not get here. Every engagement with the Sentinels teaches them more.
Soon, we won't be able to stop them.
I must insist,
Dr. Halsey said. Her words were as placid as smooth water,
but her steely eyes bored through Kurt's helmet. Fred stepped closer to Kurt.
I agree with Kurt, ma'am. And if I might point out, with all due respect, you're not in any position to demand anything in this tactical situation. Especially after you kidnapped Kelly, circumvented the chain of command, and left us in the middle of a critical mission on the Gettysburg.
Kelly looked between them, caught in a conflicting web of loyalties. Dr. Halsey stood.
I have already explained my actions, she said, and the discovery of this new Forerunner technology should outweigh any so-called breach of military protocol that may have been committed.
A frosty silence filled the hollow. Dr. Halsey had no official rank, but had always wielded considerable influence over her Spartans. That had to end. Kurt valued her scientific expertise and intellect, but he couldn't have her issuing confusing or conflicting orders. Since you mentioned protocol, Kurt deliberately turned his back to her and faced Blue Team. I want to clarify our chain of command. I understand Lord Hood gave you command of this mission, he said to Fred, but I'm in charge of all UNSC personnel on Onyx. Kurt activated his friend or foe electronic tag on extreme low power, just enough so they'd pick it up. On their displays appeared his green, color-coded military ID number, as well as the bars and star insignia of a UNSC lieutenant commander. The Spartans straightened, their involuntary response when in the presence of an officer. I am therefore assuming command of this mission, Kurt said. No one said a word for a moment, and then Fred snapped off,
Yes, sir!
Something was different in Fred's voice. A bit of the familiarity was missing, but there was something else. Respect. Kurt gave Blue Team a quick nod and then turned to Dr. Halsey.
Ma'am, I want you to continue your analysis of the Zone 67 documents on the Forerunners. I expect an update on your progress in 2 hours.
Dr. Halsey arched an eyebrow. She said nothing and slowly sat down, returning to her computer. Kurt inwardly sighed.
That was one battle won today.
Olivia's green status light flashed twice, the signal for friendly approaching. A ripple crossed the entrance to the hollow, part shadow, part rock, and then the spy camouflage resolved into Olivia.
Sentinel pair, she whispered. 0.5 kilometers south, sir. Moving this direction in a search pattern.
Kurt said, Everyone, get ready to move out. Kelly, limber up. You're our rabbit.
Happy to oblige, sir. She made the two-fingered signal over her faceplate, the traditional Spartan smile. The others nodded. Kurt knew they'd follow him into battle and right to the gates of hell if he ordered it. He had a feeling it might come to that.